That's what people do. Hanach lem li Yisrael. Right? Hanach lem li Yisrael.
Some minhags are...
Correct,
not
right.
Contradicting seems to contradict something. You know, it's like saying on Shabbos, if you marry something, well, that's a minhag.
No, okay, so right.
You know what
so,
I mean?
Okay,
it's
right,
not
right,
like
correct,
a
correct,
minhag,
right.
Contradict.
So, so yeah, 100%, right. So you have to know, obviously, you can't have a minhag to drive on Shabbos, right?
Right?
You can't have a minhag to violate Shabbos. So you have to know where to draw the line, and that's for really the Gedolim to decide. You know, obviously, if something is not a blatant violation of something, right, so then it's appropriate to say that's the minhag, and you know, and let it be, you know, and obviously if something is a blatant violation, so that's a problem. You know, the gray area is where you need the gedolim to say, okay, you know, it's not ideal, but there's something to rely on, and since that's the minhag, let it be.
So
you
the
know,
if he says it's wrong. Rambam,
well, again, the Rambam says it's wrong. He says v'chein vada yirali. He says it appears to me that the Rambam is correct. But you know, at the same time, he's not taking a, you know, it's not a strong enough stance that he's willing to say, you know, you have to stop everybody from what they're doing, you know, and tell them to stop. It's based on something. Like Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was a great paitan, and he wrote these piyutim for this place. So obviously, there's something to it, and that's it, you know, and that's it. But you're right. I mean, now, you know, you have to draw the line somewhere, and obviously, there is what's called minhag shtus. You know, like a nonsensical minhag or a minhag that you know, that contravenes halacha. That's obviously problematic.
Mr. Rabbi Yosef Kuliev also wrote the Lev Kinnis.
Yes. Yeah. So it's the same. You know, he was a big paitan.
Isn't there some concept that if a minhag continues for a long time, it becomes similar to halacha?
Yeah. There are concepts. Right. There are languages of minhag mevatel halacha and a minhag becomes halacha. Right. Yes, I mean, the answer is yes. There are certain things, you know. This is a broader topic, obviously, but there are things. Listen, there are certain things that you're makabel upon yourself that become binding. For example, we know that maruv, originally in the times of the Gemara, maruv was optional. It was rishus, and then already in the times of the Rishonim, they tell us that everybody accepted maruv upon themselves as an obligation, and we don't have it. Now it's not optional, right? For women, it's still optional. For men, it's not optional anymore. So there are things like that also, and you know, but yes, you know, that's why we don't change minhagim so quickly. You know, people sometimes like to change minhagim. You know, like change this, change that. You know, we don't change minhagim so quickly. If it's something that's especially if it's something that has roots, you know, and people have been doing it for a long time, we don't rush to change things. You know, unless there's a very significant reason for it. Okay, I just thought that was a very interesting chuvas of Rashba about this. Okay, there's another interesting application of this Shabbos before the wedding is based on a Ramah, which is really based on a Maharil. The Ramah writes that we know, I mean, nowadays we don't really do this, but the Shabbos that's referred to as Shabbos Chazon, which is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, so we know that there are certain things, you know, we sing L'Chadodi to Elit Zion, like, there are certain things that we do. When it comes to that Shabbos, but pretty much for us, that Shabbos looks, you know, pretty much like every other Shabbos. However, there were many poskim, and for years it seems, if you look in the Sfarim, that this was the minhag, that people did not wear Shabbos clothing that Shabbos. You know, as a function of Shabbos Chazon, as a sign of Avelus, for Shabbos Chazon, the Tisha B'Av is coming up, they did not wear, right, it was the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, they did not wear Shabbos clothing that Shabbos. We know that generally during the 9 days, one is not supposed to wear Shabbos clothing, right? You know, I mean, generally, we don't have a reason to wear Shabbos clothing unless it's Shabbos. But, you know, we have no weddings, obviously, during the 9 days. But you don't wear Shabbos clothing even on Shabbos, according to this. And nowadays, the majority of communities have the minhag that we do wear Shabbos clothing nowadays, but there are still some communities that do not. But if you see somebody walking around in his weekday clothing on Shabbos Chazon, you know, it's not, the, you know, maybe he's being from. Maybe, you know, sometimes you see somebody weekday clothing, you think, oh, you know, he wears the Shabbos clothes. But here he's being from in Shabbos Chazon by wearing weekday clothing, so that's the general halacha and the way that it was for many years. Now there are some exceptions. So for example, the Ramah, if you look at the fourth source here, and again I apologize, they're not numbered, but the Ramah discusses if you're making a bris milah, so there are certain people who can wear Shabbos clothing in honor of the bris milah, so the Avia Ben, the Moel, the Baal Bris, which is a reference to the Sandik. So they can all wear Shabbos clothing, but in general, they cannot wear Shabbos clothing. And then if you look down at the last line in that Rama, he writes, "U'misheyesh lo nisuin b'Shabbos Nachamu." A person who has a wedding, Shabbos Nachamu, so they're getting married right after Shabbos, right? Obviously, you can get married before Shabbos because it's still the 9 days, but right after Tisha B'Av, they're getting married the week of Shabbos Nachamu. Mutar l'ilbosh b'gdei Shabbos b'Shabbos shel Chazon Maharil. If you're allowed to wear Shabbos clothing, the Shabbos of Chazon, that's essentially the Shabbos of the Ofrif, right? Or what we would call the Shabbos Kala. And in fact, if you look at the Magen Avraham, he says that this is based on a Maharil, not just what the Maharil wrote, but actually what the Maharil did. Because the Maharil Asa, he calls it a spinhol, a spinholz, something like that. They have different languages that are brought in different poskim. Some of the spinholz libno, the lavash kata shel Shabbos, the chavod beno achasa. So even though he didn't wear any Shabbos clothing, the Shabbos of Chazon, but since his son was getting married right after Tisha B'Av, so he put on his Shabbos clothing in honor of the Chasa. And there are sources that talk about there's an Ateres Sekenim that also mentions that that it wasn't only the Avi HaChasan, but also the Avi HaKala can also wear Shabbos clothing. And they point out that the Sefer Edus Li'Israeli points out that, forget, you know, if the father of the Kala and the father of the Chasan can wear Shabbos clothing, so obviously the Chasan and the Kala themselves can wear Shabbos clothing. So here we have already a reference, because we're not so much in the realm of the Shul and the Aliyah anymore, but here we have a reference that this Shabbos is a special Shabbos for the Chasan, it's a special Shabbos for the Kala, and therefore they can both wear Big Day Shabbos on this Shabbos, even though generally we don't do that. There's a very interesting Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It's also brought in other sources as well. And we have like a vestige of this minhag today. But the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he also kept in mind the Gemilos Chasadim. He kept in mind you got to do Chesed. So says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Ra'a Shlomo Shemidas Gemilos Chasadim Gedolo Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares about Chesed. He really wants people to do Chesed. So what did he do? וכשבנה בית המקדש, בנה שני שערים, אחד לחסנים, ואחד לאבלים ולמנודים. He built two gates in the Beis HaMikdash. One gate was just for Chasanim. Just for Chasanim. One gate was for Avelim and Menudim. Now Avelim are Avelim, right? People who are in Avelos. What are Menudim? People who are in Nidoi, people who are in Cherem. Right? They were put into Nidoi for some reason. So they're kind of outcast from society. People don't, people can't have, you know, what to do with them, they can't do business with them, they can't hang out with them, so they're kind of outcast. But Shlomo HaMelech said he wanted them to have also a way to get into the Beis HaMikdash and to come down into Hashem. So he made these two she'arim, one for the Avelim and the Menudim, and one for the Chasanim. So what do people do? V'hayu Yisrael holchim b'Shabbosos v'yoshvin bein shnei she'arim halolo. So on Shabbos, people would go and they would sit between these two gates. The two gates, I guess, were near each other. And they would sit between the two gates. So any guy who walks in the Shar Chasanim, they know that he's a Chasan. And they would give him a bracha. So he's walking into this Shar Chasanim. So they see he's a Chasan, so they give him a bracha. So Shlomo HaMelech made this Shar specifically so that people would know who the Chasanim were, and they'll be able to give them brachos, right? And again, what are we talking about? It's the Shabbos, right? We're talking about on Shabbos. They would sit there for Shabbosos. So this was the Shabbos before the wedding. This was like the offer from in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The Chasanim would all walk into this gate. Everybody sees, oh, a Chasan. And everybody starts lavishing bracha upon him. Now, I cut it off because it's not really our Indian so much, but the same thing with the Avelim, right? If people would see people walking in through the Avelim gate, they would also give them a bracha that there should be in the Chava, even though we know there's no Avelus on, you know, Avelus Pfarhesi on Shabbos, but this was something that was an exception that was done. The vestige of this minhag is what we do in Shul, right? When we know Friday night. Kiddush Club?
This is the Makar for Kiddush Club. Yeah, well, you had guys sitting outside between the gates on Shabbos.
Between the gates. Between the gates. And giving everybody brachas.
Right, brachas. Uh-huh. Some of you also have to do it on a matke.
Right.
You have to do the vehicle.
Between the shaarim, I hear you.
You know, either from the zonas or...
Right.
So
Okay, good, very good. But the other minhag that I was thinking of is the minhag of Nichum Avelim, what we do Friday night, right? And when we do Friday night, after L'chadodi, where we have a minhag that someone who's sitting Shiva comes into shul, and we say Hamakom Yinachem, right? Not everybody's so happy about that because it's a little bit Avelos before Hesi on Shabbos. Some people say a different formula, but essentially they say something to welcome this Avel into shul. And that's a vestige, really, of this minhag of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Beis HaMikdash. It's a similar type of idea. But you see already that there was this, you know, this special type of treatment for Hassan in the Shabbos before the wedding. Yeah.
So why isn't this so scribe to keep that minhag about the banging in the Avelon?
I don't know. You have to ask a rabbi who that was the Zosfar. I don't know. I'm not sure. They don't have that minhag?
No.
I didn't even know that. Yeah, I don't know.
How come you don't say anything when the
chassam? When a chassam walks in, but kanok, because we do the next day, Shabbos morning, we have a whole thing for the chassam. We get an aliyah, we sing for him. We do it during the day. For the other, we do it at night. Presumably, for the other, we do it at night because he's literally just coming. He's sitting shiv and he's just walking into shul. So that's probably why we do it then at that point. But the chassam, we do a big thing during the day. okay. Now, in terms of the source for the aliyah. So it's very interesting because it's not. There's no clear source certainly not in the Gemara, but even in the Rishonim, there's no very clear source that the chassan should get an aliyah on the Shabbos before his wedding. Right? What do we know? The chassan has to get an aliyah. It's a zofar if he has to get an aliyah, but it's not so clear from the sources. What's interesting is that the Tashbetz, who is one of the Rishonim, does say he says there was a minhag, masha chassanim nodrim mapos l'sefer Torah. The Chassanim apparently used to donate things on the Shabbos before their wedding. They used to donate, a mappa for the Sefer Torah. What's the mappa? So the mantle, presumably the mantle for the, or maybe the cover, maybe that cover thing for, whatever it is. They used to donate a cover for the Sefer Torah. So I don't know, maybe we should reinstate that. We start hitting the Chassanim up for donations on the Shabbos before their wedding. I'm not sure how happy they would be about that. And he brings a proof from, a very interesting proof. Like, what's the nature of this minhag? That Chassanim used to donate things on the Shabbos before their wedding, right? If anything, people are giving gifts to the Chassan before his wedding. Why is he donating something to the shul? So very interesting Gemara in Eiruvin. And he brings a right from the Gemara in Eiruvin, and he says that if a person, let's say, is machzik b'nichsei hager, so you have a person who you have a ger, let's say, a ger tzedek, a person is a convert, and he dies, and he doesn't have any yarshim, he doesn't have any people to inherit him. Right, his biological children don't from a halachic perspective don't get his money, and it goes. So who does it go to? So it goes to Beis Din, it goes to the community. So let's say someone is machzik b'nichsei hager. Someone gets the nichsei hager. He inherits this ger. So he just came into a lot of money. Okay, you think about some other yerusha, right? A person just yarshin. So he comes into a lot of money. My yasav yiskaimu biyado. So what should he do to make sure that the money stays in his hands? Now, why would the money not stay in his hands? What are we concerned about here? We're concerned about Ayin Hara. And what is Ayin Hara? Ayin Hara means that some people are going to be jealous. A person comes into a windfall, all of a sudden he walks into shul on Shabbos and he's a millionaire because he got a Yerusha. People are going to be jealous. People are going to be, it's an Ayin Hara. So what should he do? Yikne bohen Sefer Torah. So he should buy a Sefer Torah with the money. Right? Let him buy a Sefer Torah with the money. Kitohu bahu inshi. Shibalo mamun below amel v'yigia, because when people are looking at him, right, that he got all this money without any work, v'yishlo bo ayin hara, now he's going to get an ayin hara, afilu b'mamun shalo, so therefore, b'shvil zeh, yeshlo liknos dvar mitzvah. He should buy a dvar mitzvah, he should buy a sefer Torah. So the thinking, the logic is, that if he uses the money for something like that, so people won't be so jealous, people will realize, okay, you know what, he's doing something good with the money, it's okay, obviously, everybody wants money, but at least they won't be as jealous. As opposed to him going out and buying a Ferrari and driving around town, everybody will be jealous. But here, people will see he buys a Sefer Torah. Okay, not such a big deal. So he brings, very interesting, he says that, he says the same thing if a husband marries and he gets, he marries into a lot of money, any time that a person comes into a lot of money without any amel v'yagia, without any real hard work, a person works hard and makes money, okay, nobody's, he worked hard. But if you don't work hard and you made a lot of money, so then you really should do something with it. So it's interesting. It seems to me that he's saying that this is the basis for the chassan making a donation the Shabbos before his wedding. Why? Because of Ayin Hara. Now again, he's not coming into a lot of money necessarily. I mean, he might be, but he's not necessarily coming into a lot of money. But he's getting married, and people might be jealous. You know, he got married, he only went out 3 times, it's only the fourth girl, whatever the case is. I've been dating for 10 years. You know, whatever the case might be, people might be jealous of him, and therefore, in order to mitigate that jealousy, so we tell him, do something with your mazel, buy something, be know there, mapa to the Beis HaKnesses, you give something for the Sefer Torah. So this way, people won't be as jealous when they see that you're doing something good with your good luck. Okay, now, so some Acharonim want to claim that this is really the first hint of a source to an aliyah. Why? Because when in shul do we generally donate things? When you get an aliyah. Right? That's generally what's done. What's generally what's done in shul is that a person gets an aliyah, and then, because of the aliyah they just got, so they make a mishaberach, and they give a little donation because of the aliyah that they just got. So some want to claim that maybe this is the first hint. Again, he doesn't talk about an aliyah explicitly. But maybe this is the first hint to it, that since we see that the Shabbos before the wedding, he's making a donation, he's giving a mantle for the Sefer Torah, so therefore maybe, he's doing that after his aliyah, and maybe that's where it comes from. The first, really clear source is the Levush. The Levush was the Talmud of the Ramah, so it's much, much later, obviously. And the Talmud of the Ramah, so he writes that there is a minhag to give a chassan and aliyah. It's interesting, he actually goes through many of the Achronim and have a whole list of chiyuvim. Who's a chiyuv, who's not a chiyuv, who has a priority. Sometimes you have disputes, you only have 2 aliyahs, and who's going to get it? Or you only have 1 aliyah, who's going to get it? So he writes, if you look on the second side of the page, at the top, he writes, V'yamarti lahatzig lefanecha minag Pozna, and he was a rav in Pozen, b'kriyas l'sefer Torah hachiyuvim la'alos o min nidcha. And who's really a chiyuv to get an aliyah, and who's not a chiyuv? And who has a priority? So he talks about the Baal Tokeya, and he talks about on Rosh Hashanah and the Baal Musaf. So if you look at the end of the second line, he writes, "Hachasan b'Shabbos shekodem hachasana." He says the chasan. This is the first source that we know of someone saying that the chasan, the Shabbos before the chasana, has to get an aliyah. And he says, "V'davka l'mishem zamrin oso chayav lalos." But he says only for the type of chasan that you sing for, and we know that we sing for chasanim. Right, there was an old minhag to sing for chasanim. Some even bring the minhag that they used to sing, specific pizmonim, like specific zmiros. They used to sing for the chasan, in his honor. But they used to sing for the chasan. So the Levush writes, "Aval almon she'inu mezamrin also inu chayev." But that's only talking about someone who's getting married for the first time. But if you have, let's say, a widower, for example, who lost, Rachmana Litzlan lost his first wife, and now he's getting remarried. So while it's of course a simcha that he's getting remarried, but since he was already married once, so we don't sing for him the same way that we sing for a young boy, young bachur getting married, and therefore he doesn't have the same chiyuv for an aliyah. He writes, "Aval mishem mezamrin oso v'afim lo yihi hachasna ba'oso shavua." Right, this is also an interesting question. Let's say they're making the afrof. People do this; they make the afrof 2 weeks in advance, not the Shabbos right before. Sometimes the wedding is on a Sunday and it's in California. And they want to make the Afrof in Woodmere. So they're not going to make it the Shabbos before, because they're nervous everybody's going to be already in California that Shabbos. So they want to make it 2 Shabbos before. So he brings this case. And he writes, even if the wedding's not going to be that week, Kigon mishaholich lasos chupaso b'iracheres, chayev lalos, it doesn't matter. Right? But if this is the Afrof, this is the Aliyah, so even if you're going to be away next Shabbos, so this is your Afrof Shabbos, this is you have a chiyuv of this Shabbos. And he writes that the only one who has an equal chiyuv to the Afrof is a bar mitzvah boy. He said the bar mitzvah boy, the Shabbos of his bar mitzvah, is also a chiyuv. And then he talks about the bar mitzvah boy is visiting, or he lives there, but back and forth. And it's very interesting, he writes that let's say you only have 1 aliyah, and you have a chasan and a bar mitzvah boy. So who gets the aliyah? But you have 1 aliyah, for whatever reason, you have other chiyuvim there, people have yard sites, you have a lot of yard sites that Shabbos or something, everybody has a yard site on Shabbos, and you have a bar mitzvah boy and an afrof, okay? Or sometimes this can happen for maftir. Right? You have a bar mitzvah boy and an afrof, who gets maftir? So what does the Levush write? The Levush writes, they should have a goral. Right? Let them draw lots. Right? They have an equal chiyuv, so let them draw lots, and whoever wins will get the aliyah. Okay? The last interesting thing he mentions is that if you're chasana, this I've never heard before. But apparently in some Sfarim they say this is a minhag. He says that if the chasana is from Wednesday and on, right, from Wednesday and on, so he says then the chiyuv is the following Shabbos. Right? Because we know that the first half of the week is connected to the previous Shabbos, and the latter half of the week is connected to the coming Shabbos. So he says if you're getting married Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so then your chiyuv for an aliyah is the Shabbos before the wedding. But if you're getting married Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so then your chiyuv for an aliyah is the Shabbos following the wedding. Because those days are connected to the Shabbos following the week. So it's an interesting thing.
And no offering.
I mean, you're right. There's no chiyuv for an aliyah. Let's say it like that. There's no chiyuv for an aliyah. Again, I don't think this is the minute nowadays. Nowadays, we don't really care. If people get married on Thursday night, I've never heard of like, oh, you know, Thursday night, you don't have a chiyuv for an ofrof, you know, because you're getting married Thursday night. But that's what the Levush writes.
According to what you said before, the ofrof could be made arbitrarily in a week or 2 weeks.
Well, I wouldn't say arbitrarily. I wouldn't say arbitrarily. Meaning, you're not going to say that the guy has a chiyuv just because they just decide on a month before the wedding they want to make an ofrof, so he has a chiyuv to get an aliyah. You wouldn't say he has a chiyuv that week. But I would say that if they want to make the ofrof the Shabbos before because they're traveling, the only thing is you have to question nowadays. You know, was he talking about? Let's say you know when they were talking about traveling, they likely wouldn't be at a minyan the next Shabbos. So it could be you could be at a minyan the next Shabbos, maybe in California. You know, so you're not going to be a minyan in your own town. So then the question is it really a chiyuv? You know, that I'm not sure about. You know, if you could really get an aliyah, you get an aliyah in California, but I would rather get an aliyah in Beis Tvila. It's my shul. So I'm not sure. Is that a chiyuv? Is that not a chiyuv? I'm not 100% sure about that. I mean, likely we would give him an aliyah anyway. But,
making an offer, let's say, on Monday or Thursday.
Right. You did that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't know. In terms of chiyuv, in terms of like a chiyuv for an aliyah, I'm not sure. That's all we talk about here. And again, there's a very late source for this. There's no real early sources. So most of the sources talk about a Shabbos before, but you know, I don't know if there's anything wrong with doing it a Monday before. He gets an aliyah also before, but the minhagim, the way that they're quoted in terms of singing and this and that, and the aliyah are mostly for Shabbos.
This is the minhag to get an aliyah,
right?
Because of the neder that he was going to give. That's how it evolved.
So some people have that thesis that's how it evolved.
Is there another theory?
Well, the other theory just is that it's because he's a simcha, so you give him an aliyah. Everyone agrees it's a chiyuv.
It's a chiyuv. He's a chiyuv, but it's a chiyuv to have an ofrof.
Well, what do you mean have an ofrof? You don't have to sponsor a kiddush.
No.
You don't have to invite your family if you don't want to. Right? There's no chiyuv for that. The chiyuv, meaning an ofrof means he gets an aliyah and shul. That's the ofrof.
The kiddush doesn't have
people has nothing to do with this.
Doing the haftorah?
Yeah.
No, he can get shlishi if he wants, you know.
Because
most the minhag is that we give them maftir. So they get maftir, they do the haftorah. And maftir is considered a bigger kavod, so we give them maftir.
That means you can have an ofrof Monday, Thursday.
Well, that's what Shlomi's saying. Is there anything wrong with that? So you still can get an aliyah Monday, Thursday. But so what I mentioned was that the minhagim, the way that they're discussed in the Sfarim, nobody really talks about getting an aliyah Monday, Thursday, at least not that I saw. Maybe there is. Maybe there are some people who talk about it. But I haven't seen anything. Most of the minhagim that I've seen are all discussing, Shabbos. Davening on Shabbos, and piyutim on Shabbos, and singing on Shabbos. It's all discussing Shabbos. Maybe that's just because that's when everybody was together, so it's more of a chance that everybody's going to be besimcha with him. That Shabbos.
But ironically, maftir is really not an aliyah.
You're saying because it's added on to the right, interesting, right? Yeah.
Although most people think that it is, but it really
right.
Isn't.
Well, not right. Nowadays we treat it as one. Sorry.
So in those days,
we did bar mitzvah and the offer together. It is interesting that, and one of the things that's not mentioned, you don't have it on your sheet, but there is. I couldn't find the sefer. I couldn't find the sefer in order to copy and paste it for you. But there's a sefer Noe Katzon Yosef that I saw quoted, and there he writes that he talks about singing for the chasan. You know, this minhag of singing for the singing for the chasan. He brings a certain song that was sung for the chasan, and then he quotes a minhag in Frankfurt, right in Frankfurt. What was the minhag in Frankfurt? So the minhag was that after their Friday night, they would have like a almost like a Shalom Zachar, you know. And he writes, they would have it in the house of the Chassan and in the house of the Kala. And this also, you see, is like also a source for this idea of an offer for a Shabbos Chassa, or a Shabbos Kala, I'm sorry, being more than just an Aliyah, but there's almost like there's a celebration at Shabbos. It's a Shabbos before the wedding, so you're right, it's just like an Ofrof, just like a Shalom Zachar. People get together before the Mila, and they eat something, and they sing, and they share the Divrei Torah. So that's what would happen. The Shabbos before the wedding, people would go to the Chassan's house, people would go to the Kala's house. They did it Friday night, and they would have a little party. They would have a little get together. So that's also part of the idea behind this thing. It's interesting. He quotes a medrash also that says that the minhag that we have, we generally have a minhag that we give the chassan and aliyah not only the Shabbos before the wedding, but the Shabbos after the wedding also. So what's the idea behind that? That you give him two aliyos, one before and one after. So he says that we know that the chassan is doma lemelech, but the chassan is compared to a king, and a king had two sifrei Torah. He had one Sefer Torah that he kept with him, like in his palace, and one Sefer Torah that he went out with. You know, whenever he went out, he would always carry the Sefer Torah with him. So he says that corresponding to those two Sefer Torah, that's why we gave him two Aliyos. One before the wedding, one after the wedding, you know, because of Chassan Doma Lemelech. There's another interesting minhag which developed, it really developed from Chassanim and Kalos, but in later years, it kind of, I think, got... you know, transformed to include bar mitzvah boys also, is the idea of throwing things, right? Throwing candy, you know, now we throw candy at the bar mitzvah boy, throw candy at the afrof. So the Gemara, it's based on the Gemara actually, the Gemara Brachos, this is the earliest minhag, you know, again, many of the minhagim are not even mentioned in the Gemara, but this is one that is mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Namshichin Yayin Bitzinoros Lifnei Chasan V'Lifnei Kala. They used to have pipes, and they used to pour wine. They would have like a wine fountain, you know, in front of the Chassan and the Kala, you know, kind of like in their honor. They would throw like nuts and roasted grain. They would throw at the Chassan and the Kalas. The reason, you know, what we're talking about here is that they didn't want to ruin the food. So if it was like the rainy season and there was mud on the ground, so they wouldn't throw anything that could get muddy because then nobody can eat it. But during the summer when it was just dusty, you know, so that's not such a big deal. So they would throw the candy, you know, in the klayos, and it goes in onto the road, and all the kids would pick it up, and presumably they would eat it off the ground. So this was the, and what's the idea behind this? So Rashi says, what's the idea behind this? Behind the pouring of the wine, mishum simen tov. He says it's a simen tov, right? It's a good sign that you have, you know, wine pouring freely. So it's also like a, you know, that they should have bracha. This new couple should have a lot of bracha in their new life together. Tosfos says, I mean, Rashi does mention they should try, again, try not to waste it, right? You know, the goal here should be that people can eat this food. We don't want the wine to go to waste. So he said that basically they had a bucket at the end of the pipe. It wasn't just that there was a pipe of wine just like running into the street, but they had a bucket where they were, or a bowl, they were collecting the wine, and people would drink the wine. Tosfos says already the minhag in his time was to throw kernels of wheat, you know, very exciting, but to throw these kind of things. There are also different interesting things if you want to take a look at the Rabbeinu Bachai and the Maran Ksuvos. We don't have so much time for it right now, but there are some interesting minhagim also that people used to break open food in front of the Chassan and Kala as a simen tov. So again, that really originated. When it came to an ofrof, I don't know that there's any sources to talk about it when it comes to a bar mitzvah. I know that we do it nowadays, you know, at a bar mitzvah, but I think that's kind of borrowed from the ofrof. The real, you know, the real idea was from the ofrof, that the Chassan and Kala building a new house, they should have a lot of bracha. So we're throwing a lot of food, candy, you know, wine at them as a simon bracha.
So at that time, they actually used to throw wine?
I mean, they would pour wine. They wouldn't spritz them with wine. It was like champagne, like after the Super Bowl, you know, but they would have like a pipe. You know, they would have kind of like a wine fountain, if you can imagine, like a wine fountain, you know, out of celebration. Open bar, there we go.
Instead of the wine today, we adapt the candy. That's...
Well, no, they also used to throw klayos vegozim, it says. They used to throw nuts.
No, we adapted scotch.
Yeah, they used to throw nuts. It's very interesting, just that, you know, in terms of why nuts. So some of the Sfarim say that egos is gematria chet, but it's also gematria tov. So some say we throw a gozim because of the element of tov there. Some say we throw shkedim, which are almonds, because some almonds are bitter, some of them are sweet, and also when it comes to the wine, raisins. So it says that some people drink wine and it's good for them, and some people drink wine and it's not good for them, right? Depending on how you drink wine. So all of these elements have both positives and negatives to them, right? You have both these, and some say that this is a hint to the marriage. It's a hint to the chasam and kala that marriage is really what you make of it, right? Obviously there are exceptions, but marriage is generally what you make of it. And the more you put in, and the more you can make it tov, and if you don't do it properly, then you can make it rot, and you can, then it's up to you. That's part of the message of this. The final thing, and with this we'll conclude, is that we're familiar with the day of a chasana, the chasana and kala not going out alone, right? They have a shomer the whole day. The whole day, the chasana has a shomer, the kala has a shomeret, and everybody is, they're traveling with them. It's based on a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, sounds like it's based on kavod. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, Maha melech eino yotzei l'shuk levado, just like a king doesn't go out into the marketplace by himself. Right? It's beneath his honor to go shopping by himself. He has a whole entourage. Kach ha-chasan eino yotzei l'shuk levado. So too the chasan shouldn't go out by himself. Right? There should be somebody with him. It sounds like it's a halacha in his kavod, in his honor. The Gemara seems to say that it might be more something about mazikin. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda shlosha tzrichin shimur ve'ilu hein chol l'chasan v'kala. That a chasan and kala need shimur, meaning from mazikin, from these bad spirits and things like that. So whether it's because of kavod or whether it's because of these bad spirits, but either way, there is an established minug, at least the day of the chuppah. There are some in Hagim that extended even before. Some say even the Shabbos before, already from that time they should have with them, a shomer. Our minug generally is that just the day of the chasan, the day of the chuppah, you have the chasan and the kala with a shomer. That's generally our minug. We'll stop here for tonight, and Mitzvah Shem will continue with some of the other interesting minhagim of weddings.
I missed the part. You said that the reason.